If you've ever, ever flown on a commercial airliner, then you should have no problem at all recalling what takes place at the very beginning of every commercial airline flight. Before the plane takes off, before you take to the air, while the plane is still on the ground, the flight crew delivers their speech on safety procedures. What to do in case of, sudden depressurization of the cabin, or a fire, or worst of all, a crash. They point out the emergency exits to you, and they describe how to use the emergency slide. They explain even how to put on seat belts and what to do in case of an unplanned landing. Now, if the plane's a small one, then usually it's just one person talking to the passengers. If the plane is larger, then one person will talk over the PA, while others up and down the aisle pantomime those identical gestures at the same time. And it's kind of weird to lean down the aisle and see this line of people simultaneously performing their safety dance. I like to call this safety talk the Sermon on the Plane. And this speech that we receive every time that we do fly, it's not unlike the words of Jesus, which I read a moment ago. Because both of them place before us the basic fundamental rules of our identity. Whether that identity is as a passenger on a plane or as a follower of Christ. And moreover, these words are ones that, for one reason or another, really we would prefer to ignore. But more on that in a moment. It doesn't matter how dull that airplane safety speech may be, or how many times I might have heard it in one day, or how much of it I've got memorized by now. I think that if my plane were to get so far as the runway and still we hadn't received that talk yet, I would be distressed. I might even flag down one of the flight attendants, push that little button over my head, and point out the omission in their takeoff procedures. So imagine this. Imagine that I do flag down a flight attendant and I express my concern over their missing safety talk. I'm sure the other passengers would look at me like I'm that kid who reminds the teacher that he forgot to assign homework. Shut up, don't. So imagine that then the flight attendant turns to me and says, "I'm sorry, but we don't do that anymore." "You don't give the safety speech anymore?" I'd ask. "No oxygen mask, no inflating your life vest, no put your phone into safety airplane mode." Why not? I mean, that's all part of the ritual of flying on a commercial airline. "It's simple," the attendant would say. "Nobody ever paid us any attention. You, Mr. Eddington, you always read the newspaper during our safety procedure. No one else ever seemed to care." I care. It's important that you tell us these things, the passengers. We need to know. It's for our safety." "Mr. Eddington," she says, back with a bit of impatience in her voice, "our public relations department conducted a survey of 1,000 passengers, and they discovered that the average passenger does not like that speech. They said it was dull and it made them feel uncomfortable. They said they would rather not think about crashing while flying through the air." "Well, who would?" I'd say. "No one wants to consider crashing, but if that should happen, wouldn't we be better off if we were prepared? Mr. Eddington, what is the safest means of travel in this country?" "I'm pretty sure it's flying," I'd be forced to say. "That is correct. And given the number of airplane flights multiplied by the miles they fly, multiplied by the number of people riding on those planes, what do you have? You have a very, very large number. And statistically, therefore, it is unlikely that any one particular person will die from flying. It is so unlikely as to be inconsequential. Well, statistically, I suppose that's true, but of course it's true, she continues. And since it is true, we figured, why bother with that talk at all? Statistically, no one will ever need it. And honestly, it's just embarrassing. Try talking to people who are going out of their way not to listen to you, to ignore you even. And I'm sure that you as a preacher know exactly how that feels. But it's important, I throw back. It's part of flying. It's always done. Mr. Eddington, you've flown before. You know the speech. The exits, they're well marked. We've even got little lights that flash down the aisle. You certainly don't need to hear my lecture anymore. But what about the people who haven't heard the speech, who've never flown before? Certainly, there must be a first-time passenger here, and that speech will help them. Otherwise, they won't know what to do. There are always people on a plane who've never flown before. But if something should go wrong, then you and the other experienced passengers, you can help them. You can show them which way to go. And now, Mr. Eddington, I really, really need to get back to work. All right, I know that's a bit far-fetched, but it's just still a disturbing and distressing thought. It's disturbing to think that something so basic and crucial as the airline safety speech could be lost. And what would happen? Within no time, you would have a generation of passengers with no idea what to do in case of an emergency. And when something did go wrong, lives would be lost, which might have been saved if people had been prepared. Our reading for today is from the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. This passage is the beginning of a section that is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Plain, and that is P-L-A-I-N, not airplane. And I apologize for that really atrocious pun. We call this part of Scripture the Sermon on the Plain because it begins, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, a plain. We don't call it the Sermon on the Level Place. That doesn't have a ring to it. And then Jesus delivers the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus has been up on a mountain before this, praying and speaking with God. And while on the mountain, he calls 12 of his followers. And there he names them apostles. The mountain is a place that's set apart. A mountain is a place that's close to God. A mountain is a place where we go to pray. But then, Jesus comes down the mountain. And he is with a great crowd of people who come from different lands. And it is on this level place that he addresses the crowd. This sermon runs most of the 6th chapter of Luke. And it is similar in many ways to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is longer and more detailed. But the ideas and structure are basically the same. Both the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain are regarded by scholars to be collections of the sayings of Jesus. It's not a single Sunday morning type sermon. The Sermon on the Plain begins with the Beatitudes. And here Jesus describes four types of people that are blessed. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. For surely your reward is great in heaven. And then Jesus describes four different types of people. Four types of people who are not blessed, but cursed. And they correspond with these previous blessed. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. These blessings and woes are not blessings and curses given out by Jesus. No, instead, they are insights into the lives of different types of people. It's an insight into their relationship with God. The Sermon on the Plain, it goes on for many verses, and it offers up commandments, exhortations, and parables of Jesus. For example, we'll read, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." One scholar on Luke has suggested that we approach the Sermon on the Plain as a Christian catechism, a teaching tool that tells us what it means to be Christian. So that if someone with little or no understanding of Christianity wants a quick idea of the expectations levied on Christians, well, this would be a great place to start. It's basic. It's fundamental. Love your enemies. Help your neighbors. When a person boards an airplane, the purpose is to take a journey, to go from one place to another. And to fly on an airplane, one really must have an understanding of their relationship to the airplane. That safety sermon, that's a reminder that the airplane is an inherently dangerous device. Things can go horribly wrong, and we need to be prepared. We need to understand that we are fragile and subject to being hurt or killed. To be a person of faith, one must have an understanding of their relationship with God. They have to understand that God is much greater than any human being. Next to God, there will always be poor and hungry. People will always see themselves as weeping or despised. When we understand who we are, in relation to our God, we cannot help but be overwhelmed by the enormity of God's presence and grace and love and power. God is great and we are small. God's power illuminates our weaknesses. God's goodness reveals our sin. God's glory puts our lives into perspective. When we look at God, we realize just who we are. There, those who are blessed are the ones who recognize that they are poor and hungry. But because of this poverty, they are able to see beyond that. They are able to see the kingdom of God. And they can taste fullness. They can know the sound of laughter. They can anticipate their reward in heaven. These are people who are on a journey. They know where they are and they can see where it is they are headed to. On the other hand, it is those who feel that they who are rich and full, they who are laughing, they who are confident that all adore them, they're the ones, Jesus says, who are not going anywhere. in their assuredness and their pride, they are unable to see God because they only see themselves. And when their plane goes down, they will suffer. The sermon on the airplane teaches us how to be good and responsible air passengers. We should know where the exits are located. We should know how to use the seat cushion as a flotation device. We should know the emergency escape procedure. Even if there is almost no chance that we will ever need these things. Because a responsible air traveler should be aware of their airplane. And in the same way, the sermon of Jesus puts before us the basic expectations of the Christian life. A Christian is asked to love her enemies. A Christian is asked not to judge, but to forgive. The Christian is asked not to wield power, but to share it with those who have less. These are the basics of our faith. They describe who we are. They are our identity as Christian brothers and sisters. And without these basics, without an understanding of what is required of us, we're not going to get anywhere. We'll just end up sitting on the tarmac forever. Amen.